Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
We're going to continue to worship, but I just want to express something. We've been practicing right now a principle of God's word of exalting Him and seeing the things around us diminish. As we glorify God, some of you may be like me, where in the middle of the night you wake up and your mind's spinning. And if you let it go, it just goes down. And the problems get bigger and the circular reasoning just keeps spinning. And you just keep spiraling down. I just recently built a new playlist on my phone, and it's just worship music. And it's my middle of the night reversal music. And it starts with the song Breathe. It's just instrumental. It starts out with I'm desperate for you. And then it goes into just worship. And when I wake up in the night and the politics and the weather and the news and the terrorism is weighing on me, or my job or family or issues that are surrounding me are pressing me down, I turn it around. And I say, God, I'm desperate for you. And I exalt you. Because as we lift God, as we put Him first and primary, the other things fade. Because you can't have both of them preeminent in your mind. And so we're going to just worship just a minute or two more. And if you haven't made that exchange today, if you haven't turned that reversal, do it now. If the pressures of the day, of your week, of your life are still weighing heavily on you, now is the time to reverse that. Exalt your Lord and see those things fade.
And holy are you, God.
Yes, Lord.
Let's just do it.
Holy is your name. With everything.
Come on, with everything.
With everything, Lord, my heart will sing.
I love
how I love you.
Holy are you, God.
Holy are you, God.
Intentionally just put away the things that are weighing
holy
you down.
Holy is your name.
We exalt you.
Make a stand against the pressures you're weighing. Intentionally, just put those things away and exalt your Lord. Don't let them bind you and hold you down anymore. Just lift your voice in praise. Lift your hands. Just change your position with God and see Him exalted in your life today. Oh, Lord, you are awesome, my God. We exalt you. We choose to put you ahead of everything, Lord. Exalting you and lifting your name. You are the Almighty God, the Holy One of Israel. And we exalt you, awesome God. We exalt you, awesome God. There is none like you. We worship you. We sing your praise. We cheer for you this morning, Lord. We exalt you and lift you above the pressures of this world, of the things that weigh us down, of the things that pull at our attention. And we declare you as the utmost high God. Above all else, there is none like you. We exalt you this day. We exalt you this day.
No one like you. No one like you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Good morning, Gateway. It's me, Pastor David, coming to you one more time with a special message of greeting and love. I am today in Texarkana, Texas, with my cousin. This is Apostle C's daughter, Linnell, and her husband, John. Church on the Rock, Texarkana, Texas, and I'm the special speaker for a weekend of ministry there. And I tell you what, I miss you. I'm looking forward to being back in the pulpit next Sunday. It's going to be a great time. But I wanted to just let you know where I am and also introduce our special speaker. He is a friend of mine. He is one of your pastors. He is an elder at large and a pastor at large. He's part of our church, Pastor Chandler Cleveland. Of course, we love his wife, China. And Chandler is going to be sharing the message with you. So in just a moment, he'll come up. But I just want to let you know that I'm excited about leading you in this new year. 2016 is going to be an epic year of bringing glory and honor to God. So let's get this party started. 2016, here we go. We're going to have a lot of fun. Amen. Chandler, thank you for ministering to the people. I love you. And Gateway, would you now please welcome to the pulpit, Pastor Chandler Cleveland. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I take you all with me everywhere? Good morning, Gateway. We are going to go right to the Word of God. We thank God for our lead pastor, who is so cool. Let's get this party started. And some of you know, it's just amazing. Amazing how in vogue he is, how on it he is. In Ezekiel chapter 40, and right, let's just pray for Pastor David right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless our pastor. And we speak your grace. I don't know what stage of the ministry he's in right now. I know it's 2 hours difference. But God, we just speak strength to him and the grace of God, that the people have ears to hear what the Spirit says. And you will accomplish everything and you bring it home safely in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 40, we could go to this thought today of the place of blessing, the place where God blesses. We're going to read from this Old Testament book, Ezekiel, chapter 40, verse 1. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year after the fall of the city, referring to Jerusalem, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he took me there. In visions of God, he took me to the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain on whose south side were some buildings that looked like a city. He took me there, and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. He was standing in the gateway with a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. The man said to me, "Son of man, look carefully and listen closely and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you. That is why you have been brought here. Tell the people of Israel." And as Pastor Chip just reminded us, that we are, the New Testament says, spiritual Israel. Tell the people of Israel everything you see. Let's go on to chapter 47, verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was running, coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was trickling from the south side. As a man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and then led me through water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and he led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000, led me through the water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, but it was a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, and where it enters the Dead Sea, when it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Engleam. There will be for places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh because they will be touched by the river. They'll be left for the salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fall or fail. Every month they will bear fruit. because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for medicine and healing. God, we thank you in Jesus' name for your precious word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is eternal, which means it is always pertinent. It is always relevant. It is always germane. It is always on time. And we believe you today for an on-time word. We ask God for a rhema word in this Kairos moment. Right now, this time with you, we pray that you will speak to each and every one of us, that there will be ears to hear what the Spirit says in the church, that our hearts will be so willing and obedient. And Lord, that we declare that signs and wonders and miracles and healing follows the word in Jesus' name. So I want to share with you today about this place of blessing. And we've chosen the text from the major prophet, Ezekiel. He is one that is categorized in this grouping of prophetic books called the major prophets. Why major? Because he has a major, he has an expansive message. Because of the width and the depth of what he says, he is categorized as being a major prophet. And God is speaking to us today of this place of blessing, where God wants all of us, and God calls all of us, and God beckons all of us to this place of blessing. Now, to understand this, there's some immediate observations that you'll need your notes today. There's an outline near you. You really will need it today to track with me. There's several things we're going to mention, and you might want to take notes. One immediate observation from this passage that we've read is that God has no grandchildren. God only has children. God has no grandchildren. In other words, he deals with you personally. He deals with you and I individually. He deals with us as a person. He knows us. And I think about the fact that both of my grandfathers and both of my grandmothers were pastors. My wife's grandparents on both sides, pastors. Our fathers, pastors. But in spite of the fact that they prayed for us and they loved us and they brought us up in the ways of the Lord, at some point we had to choose Jesus for ourselves. God was not going to reach into our lives and do a work without our willingness to know him personally, to know him as our God. Number two, we see in this passage that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He leads. He leads in this story. He leads in this revelation. He's beckoning. He's calling. He's inviting. Will you come with me? Will you follow me? God never pushes. God never molests. God never manhandles. The Lord is a gentleman. And let's read this verse here from Romans 8 and 14. Because it is central to what we're going to share with you today. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. It doesn't say for those who are pushed by the Spirit of God. It doesn't say for those who are manhandled and those that are manipulated. No, those that are led. And God leads his people. In fact, if you're wondering, if there's some impression or you're in a decision-making process and you're wondering, well, what should I do? And you're sensing something. Here's a great rule of thumb for you. If it's a pushy voice, it's never God. God doesn't push. He leads. He allows you. And in fact, we see it graphically just displayed for us in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, in the very beginning in chapter 3, God allowed Adam and Eve to make their own call. It was a regrettable call for them, but God permitted them to choose, because God's never going to violate your will. He's never going to force himself upon you. He came for us, but we still must welcome him and invite him into our lives. Aren't you glad your God's not a witch? Aren't you glad he's not a warlock? Aren't you glad it's not somebody trying to force and manipulate and coerce you to do something? Aren't you glad he respects you and honors you? Because he is a gentleman. And then number three, the Holy Spirit is your best friend. There is no friend like him. There's just no one that is going to come into your life and have no ulterior motive, only to bring you to the place of blessing where you can live and enjoy every good thing he has for you. I have discovered that every instruction in scripture is God simply trying to bless Chandler. Is he trying to bless you too? Yes, he is. Everything he asks. I like the way this one person described the Ten Commandments. He said it's not so much that they're the Ten Commandments, they are the tender commandments. I like that. I mean, you know, it makes good sense to leave somebody else's wife alone. I mean, that usually works really well. It's a good thing not to steal from people. It's a good thing not to covet somebody else's possession. That's normal. That's healthy. That's wholesome. All that God calls us to is never to berate us, never to put us down, never to steal from us. He comes to add value. The early service said amen much more, but it's all right. Okay. And I told them black preachers want to be talked back to, so we can do this the easy way. Oh, no, okay. All right, so. Some of y'all got the revelation really quickly. All right. So, but in verse 12, especially verse 12 of Ezekiel 47, we read it already. It's an incredible passage. Right? It says, this verse says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. Did you hear that? Everything that God touched. This is a passage that helps us understand how God touches situations. Everything that God touches comes out well. There's blessing. Fruits of all kind and leaves that don't wither and fruit that never fails. And every month you're bearing fruit, water's flowing and there's healing and there's food. It's just a good scenario. I want you to know that there are people who love God, who love Jesus, who go into heaven, who are going to be with us in heaven. But they will warn you. They will say, you be careful of those churches. You watch those churches. You don't go near those churches where they emphasize the Holy Spirit. You stay away because something's going to get you. Something's going to hurt you. Watch. It's the farthest thing from the truth. Everywhere the Holy Spirit is, there's blessing. He's your best friend. He's your best friend. If you want anybody close, you want him close. If you want anybody in your corner, you want the Holy Spirit in your corner. If you want somebody on your side, you want the Lord, the Holy Spirit on your side. And I know they've gone to certain seminaries and cemeteries, and they were told, oh, beware the move of God. Beware, oh, don't let anybody say that God is still moving. He stopped moving in the book of Acts. And you know, it reminds me of something that my wife experienced when she was in the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, and she was in a class, and the professor said brazenly and openly, the professor who had several PhDs and considered themselves to be an authority, they said, I want you to know, the God is dead. He's dead. He doesn't exist. He died. And my wife raised her hand and said, excuse me, pardon me, but it's interesting you would say that God is dead because he spoke to me this morning. Oh, yeah, he talked to me this morning and was talking to me last night, in fact. And so you must be careful who you deem reliable as an authority. Because some people talk what they don't know. And they talk about the Holy Spirit that they don't know. And you want to know him because he will bring you into nothing but blessing. As you follow him, as you let him lead you, as you let him bless your life, he'll bring you to the place of blessing. So let's unpack this. I do want to read one verse that is in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. However, it is written, Paul says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Your eyes have never seen it. Your ears have never heard it. Your human mind has not even contrived this. But God has prepared for those who love him. And these are things that are prepared. Then they will be revealed by the Holy Spirit. So how does this work? Well, point number two, we understand today that God loves to employ parables to speak to his people. Hebrews 8 and 5 gives us some instruction where the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament says, but the tent, referring to the Old Testament, literal tent where they worshiped, but the tent where they serve is just a copy and a shadow. It's a picture of the real one, he says, in heaven. Before Moses made the tent, he was told, look at the prototype in heaven. Look at the picture in heaven. It's real. I'm going to give you a glimpse of what it looks like in heaven. And you are to build it exactly like the pattern of what I showed you on the mountain. And God employs, and God loves to use, Jesus was a master at utilizing parables, right? A parable was simply where the Lord took something that was common and mundane, something that was everyday knowledge for people. He talked about a tree. He talked about the birds of the air. He talked about things that they would easily understand, and he built a story about it. But he said, this natural tree has spiritual significance. There is a message. There is understanding. There's a revelation I want to give to you about this tree. And the same way Ezekiel employs the same imagery, the same symbolism to speak to us. Number one, he refers to the temple and the altar. And this speaks of the very presence of God. That God dwells in his temple. God dwells in the sanctuary. God is there when there's an altar, and it means he's present. Number two, the water he refers to throughout this vision. The water and the river refer to the power and the flow and the move and the blessing and the touch and the influence and the dominion and the control and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you see water, now understand how invaluable a commodity water was in this culture. This was an arid land, and if they could find water, it was almost as if they worshiped that ground and that place. And so they're saying that this water from God is invaluable, and we know it means that when the water is present, the power is present. When the river's flowing, there's a move of God. When the river's flowing, there's nothing but blessing. When the river's flowing, there's a touch from the Lord. When the water's there, there's influence from God, dominion and control. Number three, there's this man who for us symbolizes a type of the Holy Spirit who was called to lead and guide us into all truth. John 16, who was called to lead and guide us? John 16 and 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. He will lead you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. That the Holy Spirit has been sent to guide us, to lead us. And we have the choice to allow him to lead us where he's beckoning us to go, to bless us. Number four, Ezekiel is being dealt with by this man, this type of the Holy Spirit. And Ezekiel represents for us the believer in Christ. That in John 16, 14 and 15, this is how God's dealing with us, with Ezekiel, who represents us in this parable, this prophetic story. That he will glorify me, referring to the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, and he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. That the Holy Spirit has been sent into our lives to make known to us the blessings that Jesus has for us, the instruction, the help. So let's put this all together. Let's take a closer look at these 4 degrees to the place of blessing. This water deepening experience. Because we see that Ezekiel says this man, the Holy Spirit, led him. And he led him into the water, and he measured off a certain distance, and he led him deeper into the water. And he noticed that at one point, the water was up to his ankles. And as if the Holy Spirit said, you want to go deeper? Ezekiel says, yeah, man, let's do this. So he leads him farther, and the water's up to his knees. And the Holy Spirit said, this is great, this is wonderful, but we can go deeper. He says, do you want to go there? Ezekiel says, yeah, let's get this party started. And so, it was Pastor David, it wasn't me. Let's get this party started. And he says, yeah, lead me deeper. And so he allows himself, he chooses, he says, yeah, lead me deeper. And the water's up to his waist. And then he says, isn't this wonderful? This is great. I'm ad-libbing. This is Chandler's version. I'm ad-libbing. But if you read between the lines, and he says, you want to go deeper? He says, yes. And he says, the water eventually was so deep that all you could see was his head. He was completely covered and immersed. And let's understand what each of these junctures means. What is God saying to us prophetically? What is God saying to us through this prophetic parable? A, that the ankle deep stage is a place of planting. That God plants us. He first plants us in his grace, and he plants us in his family, and he plants us in his love, and he plants us in his presence. It is a place of beginning. We begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, following Jesus, getting to know the Father. And second, when the water's up to his knees, it is a place of prayer. It speaks to us of the place of prayer, that prayer happens at the knee level. And it's simple to understand this. If you receive the truth that the word bless, right, the root word of blessing, the word bless is a Hebrew word barak, and it means literally to bend the knee. That I'm called to prayer, and I will find myself sometimes at least on my knees. But God is signified, and God is stressing something, that it's valuable for you to come into the full place of blessing. It's valuable to learn how to find yourself on your knees. You know the value of me praying on my knees does, and I don't pray always on my knees. We pray walking. Sometimes I'm lying in the bed. I mean, whatever the case may be. But when I fall on my knees, it's always deliberate and strategic and intentional. Because when I fall to my knees, I'm saying, God, I realize you're God and I'm not. And it compels me to get on my knees. Because sometimes I need to remind Chandler, you're not God. Is anybody else like me sometimes? Sometimes I try to be omnipresent. Sometimes I think I'm omniscient. And yet the Lord has reminded me, and sometimes I'm even foolish enough to think for a moment that I'm omnipotent. Yeah, right. But when I'm on my knees, I'm reminded, I'm your servant, and you are God. And I'm here in this place because when I bend my knees, I'm positioning myself for blessing. Level 3 is waist deep, and it's a place of productivity. Write this down, and fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. That at the waist area is where we reproduce. At the waist area is where we are fruitful. At the waist area is where we bring forth good things, blessings, and blessings galore. And then there is the neck deep level. He is there at the place, write this down, at the place of God's power. Because remember, as the waters rise, there is evidence that you are coming under the dominion and the control and the presence and the power of God. As he goes deeper and deeper and deeper into the water, deeper and deeper into the presence of God. As the waters are rising, there is proof that he's coming under the wonderful leading more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. That notice that you can only see his head. It's an amazing picture for us because the fact that the water is so deep and it's like the current It's so strong. And he says it's so expansive that I couldn't swim across it. And he's here in this water, and you can only see his head. He's completely covered. What's the significance here? The only thing is you can see his head. The only thing is that you can see the head of the church. That when we come under the blessing, the presence, the control, the flow, the power of God, that we're no longer seen, but Jesus is seen. That people will not experience us, but they will experience the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That as we allow ourselves to come under his authority more and more and more, that when we speak, it will be the words of the Lord. That when we touch, it will be the touch of God. And when we move and interact with them, they will know that Jesus was present. And I'm telling you, we don't need more of us. We need more of Jesus. We need him to be manifest and him to be seen. So he is there in his neck. He's under the control. So how can I speed forward and how can I jumpstart this? I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked. Because point number four, Roman number four, the fastest way to the place of God's power is through prayer. And the shortest route, watch this, the shortest route to the place of blessing and power is on your knees. As soon as you hit your knees, guess what? The waters rose. It's amazing. As soon as you got on your knees, his presence rose. As soon as you get on your knees, his power rose. As soon as you get on your knees, his dominion rose. It's almost too easy. And as God calls us to the place of blessing, it goes through the place of prayer. Write this down, because prayer is intimate time with God. Intimate time with God. That's all prayer is. That's what prayer means. I'm intimate with God. And when I'm intimate with God, I'm praying. When I'm with God, I'm being intimate, and prayer's taking place. I'm talking to him. He's talking to me. It's a wonderful thing to know that with God, there is a dialogue. So many times we're praying. It's nothing but a monologue. And I think sometimes God wants to answer us and reply and you know, give us the solution we just asked for, but we're off to the next meeting. He doesn't have a chance to even respond. But prayer is intimate time where both are being intimate and both are sharing. See, this is so key. Simply said, write this down, please. Humble people pray. Humble people pray. Let's read 2 Chronicles 7:14 together, everybody. Let's read it together. Uno, dos, tres. If my people, go ahead, who belong to me, humble themselves, pray, seek to please me, and repudiate their sinful practices, then I will respond from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. How many of you know our land needs to be healed? Right now. Man, if God doesn't heal us, ay, 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 ay. But he promises, before praying takes place, what does the prophet say? What does actually God say is a prerequisite before prayer? What does he say? Huh? Some of you don't want to say it. What does he say? Humble themselves. Because you know what? Humble people pray. Let me come closer. Humble people pray. So if you're not praying, but Lord, I'm busy. Lord, I've got so much to do. Lord, I've got so much. I gotta watch this. I gotta do that. I'm so much on my plate. I'm doing so much ministry. Blah, blah, blah. Humble people pray. Humble people pray. Humble people find a way to pray. Humble people make time to pray. Humble people, And all that they must, all their duties, humble people find a way to pray. God, I need you. The last time I check, I can't do this. The last time I check, I'm not enough. The last time I check, I need you. The last time I check, you're perfect, I'm not. The last time I check, you're all that I need, I'm not. The last time I check, only you can satisfy my soul. Therefore, it compels me to spend time in prayer. Point D, because there are two elements to prayer we must discuss briefly. Point D, Paul writes in Ephesians 6:18 that we are called to pray, write this down, always. We're called to pray always. Everybody say always. Always. In other words, without ceasing, at all times. That we're to be prayerful. That on the bus, on the train, driving the car, you know, we're to be praying. Keep your eyes open. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. He was referring to driving. Don't close your eyes while you're driving. Just keep them open. God will somehow let his presence come. All right, make sure you watch and pray. That's what Jesus said then. He was thinking of driving. Just make sure your eyes stay open. And so, we're in the spirit. And some of you can stay in the spirit as long as someone doesn't cut you off. And then you gotta find a way to repent and get back into the spirit. But otherwise, you can flow and move in the presence of God. But I mean, always at work, when something erupts and when something goes awry, when something goes south, learn how to pray. Learn how to just, without words coming out of your mouth, learn how to connect with Jesus and say, Lord, I need you right now. Lord, I'm looking to you right in your heart, Lord, at your desk at work or in your school. Lord, I need you right now. And Lord, what do I do right now? Learn to what Brother Andrew, a great Christian, Brother Andrew wrote a book and he called it Practice the Presence of God. Practice it. Know that he's with you always. Know that you can talk to him always. Know that he's by your side always. Know that he's in you always. And somebody said, the Lord is so close, he's as close as the mention of his name. When you don't know what to do, learn how to say, Jesus. It's amazing what clarity comes when you just say that name, Jesus. Let's practice right now. Jesus. Can't you sense that just by the mention of his name, things begin to change? So we're always called to pray, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. But, point E. Intimacy is found in the closet. We're called to pray always. Called to pray at work, called to pray at school, called to pray wherever we are, on the bus, on the train, driving the car. We're called to pray with the children. We're called to pray. We're called to be prayerful at all times. But intimacy, say intimacy. Intimacy is found in the closet. What is intimacy? Someone defined it as into me you see. That alone with God in the closet, as what the King James Version says, in the closet, in this special room, that I'm alone with God. Now let's read a couple versions. First, the Worldwide English Version of Matthew 6, 5, and 6. And listen to Jesus' words, because this is Jesus' take on prayer. When you talk to God, do not be like the people who are not true to themselves. They like to stand and talk to God in the meeting houses and at the street corners and so that people will see them. But I tell you the truth, they have their reward already and it's not much. But when you talk to God, go into your room and shut the door. Then talk to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees secret things, and your Father sees secret things, and he will reward you. Let's look at the New King James Version also, same verses. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, you go into your room. You go into your closet, the King James says. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, notice the notes. Notice the notes on point E I've given you. That closet time is private, say private. It is uninterrupted, say uninterrupted. It is undistracted, say undistracted. It is focused, say focused. It is alone, say alone. It is secret, say secret. Because when I ask some people, when is your devotional time? They say, I spend my devotional time on the BART. And that's good. Read your devotions on the BART. Absolutely. Take God on the BART with you. You please take him wherever you go. But understand that it's not going into your room and shutting the door, because there is something about privacy and being alone. It has to be undistracted. That's why some of you, because of the way you're wired, you probably cannot take your smartphone into your prayer time. But Pastor Chandler, I'm listening to my music. Yeah, you're also watching your Facebook and Twitter. And you're checking your email. This has to be alone time. Say alone. This has to be you and Jesus. And Jesus was a prime example. The Bible says he frequently and often went away alone. His disciples would come searching for him in the morning. Where is he now? He's away somewhere with his Father. And you know, I like to remind myself, if the King of Kings and the glory and the glory of glories and the King of glory, if he needed to be alone with God to pray, oh Lord, what about me? If the perfect one, if the Lamb of God, if the exalted Son needed to be alone with God in prayer, I better get there right now. Three of you said amen. But there's this closet. He said, go into your room and close the door. Shut everything out. Shut everybody out. This is your time. Well, I remember early in our marriage, because of my work schedule, I couldn't have the quality time I wanted, you know, the extended time I wanted. So I told my wife on Saturday mornings, I got to have my sequester time with God. So she would keep the children at bay, and she would tell them from 9 to 12, leave your father alone. This is his time with God. Because I needed that time. And can I suggest to you that there's an easy solution to your question about when to spend this time as one of the solutions? Saturday morning, right here, 6 o'clock, is a glorious time to do that. You say, but Pastor Chandler, you said I got to be alone. Yeah, but see, but from 6 to 7:30, people are in different corners, and people are praying quietly, and people are communing with the Lord, and it's really like you're by yourself, and it's wonderful. My wife and I drive over an hour to come here on Saturday morning. We live in the Tracy area. We drive over an hour to come here every time we come, and it's our date with God, and we want to be with him because he meets us. And some of you live 5 minutes away. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Do the math. And all I'm saying is that's one option. That's all I'm saying. That's one good option. That's all I'm saying. The doors are open. We'll leave the lights on for you. For you to come to be alone with God. So how do we apply this? I'm glad you asked. How do we apply this? Number one. Create a war room that is your secret place to meet with God. You gotta build an altar. Find a place. This is my war room. How many of you saw the movie? Right? We showed it here in the church for a reason. It was intentional. It was deliberate that we all would begin to construct a war room in our house. Number two, determine and keep a regular meeting time with God. What good is a war room you never visit? Wow, you should see my war room. I've got all these versions, and I've got the pictures, and I got a picture of Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit, and you never go to it. Number three, incrementally increase that time by 5 minutes each month. What happens when you increase it by 5 minutes? You're going deeper into the water. You say, Lord, I'm ready to go deeper. I want more of your presence, Holy Spirit. I want more of your power. Number four, make that time a sacred priority to you. Fight for that time. When anybody wants to encroach on that time, come out fighting. This is my time. I'll see you later. But I have a crisis. Yeah, you always do. I'll see you later. Let me pray about your crisis. But I need to be with God to even understand how to deal with you. So when some people call me, I see their message in the voicemail, their name. I don't call them immediately. I go into prayer. Lord, what do I do? Oh, God, help, because I know it's something, Lord. Help, Jesus. I don't have the answer. Lord, speak to my heart. And you know some of those people also. Number five, stand back and watch God bless you and reward you. Jesus promised that when you go into your secret place, when you go into that closet, when you go into that room and you shut the door, that whatever you and God discuss in private, he's going to manifest it publicly. He's going to answer publicly. He's going to show up for you. You know what I understand now? It's not what happens in the room. It's what God does outside the room. Hallelujah. That God's going to bless your socks off and meet the need. Would you stand with me right now? Let's just say this prayer together for the Lord to bring us to the place of blessing, to bring us to this place where we can just go deeper and deeper and deeper in his presence, in his joy. Let's pray that together out loud. Heavenly Father, you know that the thirst in me. Yes, Lord, I have come to ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I need you, Holy Spirit. I open my heart to you. Come in and take control of my whole being and quench my thirst, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for granting me this precious gift. Let him be my sweet companion forever, and let him direct my steps. Help me faithfully come to my war room. In the name of Jesus, my Lord. Amen. And we're going to sing one last time this song, and just for a couple moments, and just to kind of put the icing on the cake and wrap this up in his presence. But we're going to invite right now the prayer altar workers right now. Come, and they're going to pray for you. Could just a little softly, please. I want to say a couple things right before we sing. Just please hear what I believe the Lord is saying. The Lord spoke to me. He said to give you a prophetic word at the conclusion of this message. And the word is this, that this is an essential word from God for us. And the Lord said, if you will, if you will take this to heart and apply this in your life, and by the grace of God, begin to walk in this. The Lord said, by the end of December, you're going to see more miracles that have been accomplished in your life than ever before. That what you pray about in secret, God's gonna manifest it publicly. What you pray about in the quiet place, in the private place, God's going to move for you. And so these precious folks are here to pray with you. See them, think of them as prayer coaches and prayer trainers. But there's a time with all of our lives where we need somebody else to pray with us, me included. And you may have this experience, you know, like me, of starting out in January with the best of intentions. And then by March, all my resolutions, including prayer, have fallen to the wayside. Sometime we need somebody else to pray with us. And you know, it's also possible that someone's here who has never even gotten into the water at all. But you haven't even stepped into the water. And Jesus calls you today. Today's your day. You're not here by accident. This is a divine appointment with God. That you can receive Christ. You can come up here and pray with one of these precious individuals, and you can receive Christ today, and you can get in the water today. And the place of blessing begins immediately in your life. You can have him leading you. You can have him guiding you. When you leave this sanctuary, he will be leading into every blessing. So no matter what your need is today, you can come. If it's some other area, you can come. These precious folks are here. So let's sing one last time and then. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Who is like you, Lord, all the earth. Let's worship him.
Like you, Lord, in all the earth.
You can come now if you like, if you want to come and pray with someone.
Matchless love and beauty.
You're welcome now to come. You're welcome now to come. Hallelujah.
Nothing in this world can satisfy.
Jesus,
you're the cup that won't run dry.
Your presence, Lord.
Your presence is heaven
oh, to me.
Hallelujah. Your presence is heaven to me.
Sing it, your presence is heaven.
Your presence is heaven to me.
God commanded the priest to speak over his people. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. And the Lord be gracious to you, give you favor wherever you go. And the Lord turn his face to you and give you shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing in need of repair. Everything supplied, everything in abundance. In the mighty and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.